I'm Jerwin Gabriel Santiago.
And I'm Elizabeth Wayne.
And we're really hungry.
This week, lunch break.
Rapture.
Let's just get into it. Because every plane is a death trap, of course.
Are you afraid of it flying, like falling out of the sky?
I don't know, because a part of me is like, if it's a plane crash, then hopefully I just die on impact.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid you survive that.
That plane crash in like India.
Into the house of doctors.
One survivor. It was into a house of doctors.
When Grace said that in the car on the way to Party Girl, She was like, and you wouldn't believe it, into a house of doctors. I was like, is this a fucking 30 Rock line? Like, that is like the most adverse situation possible. Like,
so all the doctors died?
I'm pretty sure. Because there was only one survivor. Yeah. Unless they're only talking about the plane.
Mm-hmm.
That is like such a bummer.
Yeah.
Pisses me off. But like, I get really, really scared on the plane that I have to, like, immediately tap out.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to fall asleep before the plane takes off. And then if I'm on it and I'm awake, I, like, immediately start crying.
Okay.
Oh, unless I have to go to the bathroom, in which case, like, something else will take over.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be like, I really have to go to the bathroom. Yeah. It's like a survival instinct. Like, my emotions will take a backseat if the pee is urgent.
Mm-hmm.
But I really hate turbulence. My flight one time had a lot of turbulence, and I was sitting next to my mom, and she had to like hold me like a baby. Like, she had like put my head on her chest, and she was like, is it gonna be okay? And I was like,
it was last year.
No, I'm so serious. It was like, it was 2021.
Yeah.
There have been times that I've had like really fun times on a plane, but that's when I've had to be like, I'm drunk on a plane. Mm-hmm. And like, that can be fun. Like, one time I watched the Emoji Movie. No subtitles, no sound, but I knew everything that was going on in that movie.
Well, I think that was by design.
Well,
I think
the most expressive people, the emojis people.
Emojis, the most expressive.
The non-fictional character emojis.
Well, I had my, okay, first of all, did not know that about you.
Yeah,
I thought you were like cool, calm, collected. Like whenever we've traveled together, we never sat together though.
I haven't flown on a flight with you.
Yeah, you have. We flew to New York together this year.
Did we?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Cut this. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But we didn't sit next to each other.
But cool.
Because I sit in the back of the plane for political reasons.
I won't comment.
Lena Dunham, credit, Beach House episode 2015.
Period. On that flight to New York, I had my first bout of claustrophobia. Oof. On a plane.
That one's really scary because you just can't like get off at the stop.
You can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Because I've developed claustrophobia in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a little like personal. Yeah, I developed claustrophobia.
Well, I mean, like, I believe it traces back to Astroworld, where once you find out about Crowd Crush,
You were a different person. Yeah.
It is truly Crowd Crush, developing an allergy at random.
Stop. That's my other biggest fear.
Those are two of my biggest fears. And you have to confront them nearly daily.
Well, when you eat.
Every single time that you eat. Or touch something. Low-key, the latex allergy, scariest one.
Yeah, because it's like kind of like when you least expect it.
Well, you're toast.
Yeah. Okay.
5 minutes silent. Like we're like both having like full spirals like on mic.
To have an unexpected first of all, I did develop an allergy out of the blue to pineapple. That was like a recent one.
Famous side of Chili's.
Famously outside of Chili's discovered.
Really iconic. You have a lot of iconic moments where you have to like lay down in a place where it's completely inappropriate.
So, like, some backstory, about, like, 3 years ago, I was at a Chili's. I was at one Chili's in Evanston. I got a margarita with pineapple in it. And then we went to another Chili's in Skokie. And I got a second margarita of the same kind with pineapple in it. And then I was like, oh my God, like I really can't breathe. And I'm like, it felt like my stomach was on fire and also like crawling up my throat. Mm-hmm. But I could not catch a breath.
That's, you know, really scary.
And I don't even think it was like my throat closing up. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But then I had to go lay outside in the grass at Chili's.
Cut to that painting of the woman in the field.
In the field. Yeah. That's it. That's how I was. And then like an hour went by and then I was fine. And then we saw Top Gun Maverick.
Listening to the Lady Gaga song. Imagine you getting asphyxiation mm-hmm. during the Lady Gaga sequence of that movie.
Okay, what a way to go.
The last words that you hear are the most like victorious song by Stephanie Germanotta, who will, by the way, never be famous.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I know. But like, so it can happen. And like to have that happen, like possibly mm-hmm. in a place that you cannot get out of. Because I was researching it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I don't actually have claustrophobia. It's, I'm scared of not being able to get out of somewhere.
Yeah.
Like that's why when we were in New York, I was having trouble with the subway. Like yeah. I'm being raw and being real. Like
this is Rapture Unfiltered.
This is unfiltered. This is a new development for me. I've never had trouble flying. I've never had trouble being underground. Now I do.
And
I just don't know.
Suddenly, and there will be listeners. Part of the 15 listeners will be psychoanalyzing this. Some sector of the 15.
Yeah, yeah.
Of our devoted 16.
Devoted. Yeah. Fan base.
Well, wait, we were talking about food and this kind of is a perfect segue because this is Rapture lunch break.
Yeah.
Kind of the last couple of episodes, you know, we've been going from class to class, just like never getting to catch a break. But you know what? Every good school needs a cafeteria.
A cafeteria, somewhere to relax, yeah. Somewhere to gab.
Mm-hmm. I have been thinking about the fear of not having a cafeteria table to sit at, like in like grade school or high school.
Interesting. Recently?
Yeah, because I watched a movie where that was like kind of a central scene.
What movie?
Valley of the Dolls.
Oh.
And like a huge part of it is that like...
The old one?
Yeah, it's from like the 90s, I think.
Not the one from the 60s?
It might have been this... It had to have been the 90s because Eric Mabius, isn't it? The guy from Ugly Betty.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking it might be the
90s. Like a remake.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she has to like decide which table to sit at, and she gets denied by so many tables that I'm like, that is crazy. But here at Rapture, it's just us two.
It's just us two, and everyone can sit if we like you.
Yeah. We'd get to decide not if you go to heaven or hell today, but just if you can sit with us.
If you can sit with us.
Yeah.
And I think you can.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, I bet.
So we're just going to kind of be talking about things that we've been enjoying like this year so far.
Yeah,
we're like midway point.
Yeah, we're about 6 months into the year. Just want to do an H1 check-in about high highs and low lows of our media diets. I mean, I wrote even down some like stuff that I've really been fucking with in terms of food.
Okay.
Want to get this directly on mic. I'm the first person to ever say this. Seasonal produce is good.
Scenes should be in movies.
Zucchini right now,
and
tomato
you keep
right now.
Me with that one.
scenes should be in movies in the way that everyone needs to get an heirloom tomato from the farmer's market
tomorrow.
Like,
but what if you get an heirloom tomato from the Whole Foods that's like a block away from the farmer's market?
And bleep that, because I went to the farmer's market. The hummus guy is addicted to me. Yeah, I got some lettuce BLTs last week.
Oh my God, yeah, it looked delicious.
This week, just eating straight up raw tomato.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a sprinkle of salt, but you know what? It doesn't really need it.
Oh, I'm going to disagree. I think an heirloom tomato is best with a salt sprinkle on it.
I mean, sometimes yes, but like sometimes it's fulfilling its job as fruit to
Yeah.
me. Like it's so bright and fresh that I'm like, so I can't. But you're right. I do think that, like, in combination with salt, in Congress, in concert with, like, salt, some pepper. You had balsamic on yours.
Balsamic, yeah. I actually think about heirloom tomatoes all year. I, like, am always wishing I could have an heirloom tomato. It's, like, dead of January. I'm like, I want a tomato sandwich right now.
Yeah. I hated tomatoes until this summer. Because
really?
Because I had never really... I guess I've always been eating them like in the winter when they like taste like ass.
Yeah.
But when you have one in the summertime at its peak freshness, same thing with cucumbers. Always like cucumbers, but when you get a really fresh one, you're like, this is revolutionary.
It's like a honeydew. Honeydews are disgusting until you have a good honeydew. Mm-hmm. And it's like one in every five honeydew that you eat is like really good. Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of always hoping to get back to that place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, all melon makes me feel like I'm in Minecraft, low-key. Like, why? Just, like, cube of food. Like, it's always cut in cubes. Like, whenever, like, honeydew is in, like, a fruit salad, it's always obviously cubed. But I root for her sometimes. I honestly, I think that she's really underrated. I think that she's kind of, like...
Honeydew?
Yeah. She's kind of, like, I don't need to be the star of the show. That's grapes. That's strawberries. That's, I mean,
watermelon.
Pineapple.
Oh. And to bring that up, after I just shared...
After you bore your heart and soul.
Did you know I spent one of my summers as a fruit cutter?
Whoa.
Like, making those pre-made, like, fruit cups and, at the grocery store.
And, I mean, once again, getting run real, what was that labor experience like?
It was, okay, kind of crazy. 8 to 5, 5 days a week, standing on my feet in, like, the back room. And, it was fine. I just, like, listened to, like, my music and my podcast.
Which, this is even better. What were you listening to at the time?
Oh, my God. Okay, this was summer of 2018.
Electric Ear.
Oh, my God. What was I listening to? Oh, my God. Oh, I was listening to You Must Remember This, which is a podcast about, like, old Hollywood, but it's like really, really, really well researched and structured, and like each season is different. It's Karina Longworth, who's married to Rian Johnson, who did like Knives Out and like all this stuff. But I've been like listening to that podcast since like 2015, but I was like really on that grind that summer.
That 2018 media diet, really, really special, like dead of college.
Yeah.
Like you're just starting to kind of
become a person.
Well, you're like, I have taste now.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I listened to, like, mostly the classical music from the Call Me By Your Name soundtrack because I was trying to act like I was, like, I'm actually really distinguished. I'm 20 years old.
You know nothing, Derwin.
I knew quite literally. I was like, what is this shit? The psychedelic furs were huge for me, but just for that reason.
Well, okay, I think everyone at DePaul from 2017 to 2019 was solely listening to the Call Me By Your Name soundtrack.
I mean, yeah, it was, you didn't even have to ask people to like, what are you listening to? It was like something off of that. It was like, A La Vita. I remember crying in the sack to that so many times because I was like, I will never have a boyfriend.
Feudal Devices Doveman remix.
Whoa. We're gonna get into the Sufjan conversation. I feel so bad for him every single day. He is the most devastating person to ever exist.
Yeah.
All love, but seriously.
Like,
whoa.
I love that guy, like, down for a long time. Sometimes I'll go, like, years without listening to him because he makes me too sad.
I mean, my friend saw the Illinois show. I was obviously debuting in Chicago. And I missed, like, the very last show of it. I was like, oh, my gosh, everyone's saying that they love this. I should go see it today.
Just left.
So.
I heard it's kind of bad.
Whoa. But I love Tasha.
Okay.
I've been actually having this thing really recently since I have Spotify that I'm, like, being fed all these songs where, like, some of them, I'm like, this is AI. Now I only feel really, really comfortable listening to artists that I have physically seen live, like Tasha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you think that's going to be, like, the future of, like, music?
I mean, I fucking hope not. Because, like, there are some artists where I'll be like, this is really fun on my, like, Discover Weekly or, like, Release Radar. You go to their profile. It's like, okay, there's no profile picture. It's just kind of, like, graphic design or, like, maybe they have, like, a cartoon profile picture. Then you try finding them online and it's like, there is not a single trace of this person. Where is this coming from? And the Spotify CEO is addicted to AI.
Really?
Yes. He's like putting together like a whole sector of Spotify that is AI music that I'm kind of like, I'm having the cost sunk fallacy where I'm like, I'm in too deep with Spotify. I have about 1,600 to 2,700 songs saved or in playlists that I don't know how to migrate to Apple Music.
Okay.
That I would just be devastated to not have again.
Can you do like a mass exodus of like your music on Spotify or no?
Maybe it's that I haven't researched it more than anything. Mm-hmm. So, like, I like truly am like, it's like having a bad boyfriend where it's like, well, I don't know any other guys.
Yeah.
So I have to stay with him. Yeah. Like, he's the only person. He's the only stinky cock for miles. Yeah.
Well, and there's really only two options because we live in like a capitalist monopoly.
What?
What? Wait.
Which is Apple Music and
Spotify.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Sometimes, obviously, after the day list, I was like, fuck Spotify. This is the worst thing ever. I hate when my vibe is assessed. And also, I hate when it's accurate.
Date list?
They will like, here, wait, let me pull my
I'm an Apple right Music now. User. I don't know.
I can't believe that you haven't heard the tyranny that is Daylist.
No.
They make you this playlist, a brand new playlist, three times a day. It's like morning, afternoon, and evening. Mm-hmm. Here, mine today is called Limerence Quiet Wednesday Evening, which basically means you've only loved someone once and that you're like an unrealistic romantic. That's like what limerence is, I guess. Okay. It's like projecting your love onto somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Tumblr people will know. And it says, here's some limerence yearning, quiet, wistful, soul-crushing, gentle, inspired by your listening on Wednesday evenings.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's like Claro. Fuck. I'm gonna stop right there. I'm gonna stop right fucking there.
See, okay, I've had Apple Music since like it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my dad's had Apple Music, and I've, you know, I'm
and
like,
you have to admit that.
I have to admit that, of course, and that's why I'm whatever. I'll use it.
Yeah, if it's there, I'm gonna use it.
I am not a playlist person. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of weird when I'm like listening to like new music. I'm like, I want to listen to a song I know.
That has been my trap too. Like my last like 5 years of Spotify Wrapped or whatever, it's mm-hmm. always been like, you listen to the same three Post Malone songs for 97 hours this year.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, yeah. I do listen to new music, but it's like I have to discover it. Like, mm-hmm. it's very rare that someone shows me a song and I'm like, yay, you know? Like, is that bad? But like, I have to be really like drawn in by a song
mm-hmm.
to want to listen to it again or associate it with like a memory.
Yeah.
Or like a movie or something.
Yeah.
And I'm also very much more like a beat person than a lyrics person. Yeah. So like if it's just like Big Thief, you know, I'm kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that we're like yin and yang in this way where I'm like, yeah. I love Big Thief, or like, I love the lyrics. Like I am like
poetry girl down. Yeah. And like, I appreciate lyrics. Like, I've been listening to The Smiths a lot again recently, and mm-hmm. I like literally think Morrissey, for all his faults, is one of the greatest songwriters of all time. Like, he's yeah. so, their lyrics are so good, but also the setup of their music is really good, and mm-hmm. like the composition of it. All that to say, I don't think I do well with Spotify because I don't want them shoving new music down my throat all the time.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it is a little bit like, whoa, like relax. But I do find some good stuff. Like,
yeah,
I think that their like release radar algorithm is really good. So it like lets you know right away when like an artist that you listen to constantly
mm-hmm.
has a new single out.
Apple Music does that.
Okay. I was going to say the good example that I saw was Sudan Archives just released her new single like earlier last month.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw her live, I was like, whoa, thank God Apple Music told me about this because that means she has a new project coming.
Oh, Apple Music told you about it?
Oh. The Freudian slips.
It sounds like someone switching their plan.
I want to talk about something else. but are you listening to any new music?
Let me pull up my
When you said the Smiths, I will say my asshole clenched because I'm like 500 days of summer.
Well, and I will admit, like, every time I turn, every time I listen to one of their songs, I'm like, I love this mess.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a tick that like pops into my head. I love the Smiths. You do? Yeah.
Smash.
What am I listening to? The Smiths. I was listening to the 28 Years Later soundtrack because it was so good.
Yeah, oh, I think Horror's back, actually. I watched Sinners. Horror's back.
Oh, yeah.
Horror's back.
Dude, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to this. I've been listening to the Beach Boys a lot.
R.I.P.
Yeah, I think he's like a musical genius.
Was your dad like really into the Beach Boys or anything? Or like, did you just kind of like stumble upon them yourself?
I stumbled upon them myself because it's like all like composition and like vibes of the beat and stuff, mm-hmm. like more than the lyrics. And I'm just like really, really drawn to all their stuff.
Yeah.
And also they were like an early inspiration for like dream pop and shoegaze. And like 30 years.
I'm nodding so viciously.
Like 30 years before, if you hear some of their like old shit, you're like, wait, this came out in 1964. Like they were so ahead of their time. And I always appreciate that.
Yeah.
A lot of that mostly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, perfect transition into movies.
Mm-hmm.
Watching any movies right now? See anything good besides 28 Years Later?
Oh, and why so aggressive?
Because haven't watched a movie in forever. I mean, I watched Sinners last night, but like I truly cannot focus on a movie right now.
Mm-hmm.
Sinners might have unlocked something for me where I'm like, ooh, a metaphor to untangle. Like, that's fun.
What did you think about Sinners?
I thought it was really good. Mm-hmm. I was like, I went in like not really knowing much besides like that it was going to be scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then was obviously like really staring at Michael B. Jordan. I was like also trying to like break down the acts of it. Like we're going into the second act now. And it was like actually like a really interestingly written screenplay. I was like, it was paced in a really unexpected way for me.
Yeah.
So it like kept me on my toes.
Like the last three, force or like a really different kind of pace.
Yeah.
And but it's like very energetic.
Yeah.
Throughout.
I would definitely say that it did a really good job of like dropping the breadcrumbs and like really exploding at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Yeah, I really liked that. But I haven't really watched much else. My letterbox is dry right now.
I feel like everyone's just kind of dry. I've not been noticing a lot of people watch stuff.
I know. Last year, I think I ended with like 165 movies.
You were on your roll.
Yeah. But this year, halfway through the year, I'm at 66.
That's not bad, though.
I know.
I think I'm at like 30.
And these are all first watches for me.
Yeah.
Like,
mind you.
I've definitely like rewatched like Ricky Stenicki three times this year. I will be the first one to watch any John Cena Amazon project.
I know.
He was, Letterboxd gave me my rap last year and it was like, your number one actor is John Cena. Your like most watched actor is John Cena and your most viewed director is M. Night Shyamalan. Okay. All right. When are they going to collab is really my question.
That's so scary. That's scarier than any horror movie you could ever write.
I don't know, man. He has some great projects.
I think
calling them projects. As he's not like locked into a contract with them. Anyways, go ahead.
It's you definitely not you, but like everyone definitely like goes through phases where you're like, I want to watch movies.
Yeah.
And you're like, let me scroll.
Like this is embarrassing,
this
low-key.
Is embarrassing.
Like unless I'm watching like for this literal podcast. On my phone during the movie because my Instagram Explorer is like, you should meet this hot guy.
Yeah.
Or like, you should look at this fucking cucumber salad recipe. And I'm like, let's fucking see it.
And they're fresh. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna
have to give my fucking time up.
Of course.
I mean, to her. Let's give it up for her.
For her.
I mean, yeah, even with TV, I haven't been drawn to any TV lately either. I guess I'm just waiting for Salt Lake to come back every single day of my life.
Almost.
We're close, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was in Milwaukee last week, I really, really felt the spirit of Whitney Rose.
Whoa.
Throughout the streets.
Like you, every corner you turned, there was a blonde bob.
Yeah.
Everyone was hailing.
So, What now? I felt a little bit of Barlow, you know. That was kind of it, though.
Really? Not, not even any NGK?
No. Because I think during that Milwaukee trip, she was really starting to find her footing.
In the season.
In the season. You're as, right. like, center snowflake. Mm-hmm. And so, no, I didn't. I'm going to be radically honest with you.
That's okay. The biggest splash that she made on that trip was that she, like, wore she fell over. Head-to-toe Greek flags to the basketball game. To the Bucks game, yeah. Which is cool.
The Greek freak.
Thank you very much.
Well, if we're talking about reality TV.
You can go ahead.
Why?
I'm like, I know exactly what you're going
to
say.
Why are you naysaying?
Well, because I love to protect my peace.
Okay. We're fighting. Oh, my God.
It's about Love Island.
No.
Okay, thank God.
I thought
you were going to bring up Love Island.
Love Island's really like scared. A constant in my life. Like, obviously, I'm always watching Love Island.
You're like, but that's the low. You have tinnitus, but with Love Island.
Yeah. And I will say I'm not one of those people that just started watching USA season 6. No. I've been watching since 2019. I've been here. I've been.
Stolen Valor.
I'm a long time fan. It is a little Stolen Valor. Yeah. It gets me a little heated.
Yeah.
No, Survivor.
This is fine.
Okay.
This is fine with me. This is fine with me, of course. I mean, like, once again, the 16 can analyze there, but I was really scared to talk about Love Island because it's fucking everywhere I turn.
No.
I think that it's becoming, like, a really corrosive entity in personally my life as somebody who's never watched it.
That's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. Also, Love Island is not fun to talk about if you do not watch it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But Survivor, dude. So I've put off. I consider myself a little bit of a reality TV connoisseur.
Of course.
I love it, like down. Survivor was a big blind spot for me.
Because it's such a big commitment.
It's a huge commitment. I was always like, there's 50 seasons, like no shot I'm watching this. But then I watched Traitors last year and Parvati and Sandra Parvati.
Yeah, she's gonna get you for that.
She's gonna get me. Her and Sandra were on Traitors and I was kind of like, wait, I love you divas, like who are you?
Yeah.
And then this season I forget who from Survivor was on it. It was like Tony and Jeremy. Oh, it was Boston Rob was on it. And I was like, maybe I need to see what all the fuss is about.
Well, right when you see Boston Rob, you're like, I know that when you were on the show at your peak, you were the hottest person to exist in America.
And he was.
And yeah, obviously.
And so I asked Kyle, I was like, do you want to go on this journey with me? Gosh. And he was like, I do.
Bigger commitment than marriage. For most couples. Yeah.
And so we started in January. Mm-hmm. We started on season 7. Mm-hmm. And then worked our way to 4. Like, we skipped 1, 2, and 3 for some reason. Because we're like, we're going to watch the whole thing and then watch the first 3 seasons to see how much it changed.
That's an interesting psychological experiment. Like, you had a control group. And then you were like, now let's really see what's happening
let's
in these first.
Let's get into it.
Well, those first 3 seasons, they were like, well, this show was pretty much illegal.
Yes.
Like, they were like making them do the craziest shit.
Yes. And so we're watching all of them in order because we're like, let's see how this changes over time, like blah blah blah. We're on season 16 now.
Whoa.
I know you think we'd be a little farther, but
not really, low key. I mean, like, how many episodes are there a season?
Like 15.
That's a pretty big. They're an hour almost.
They're an hour. It's like we also like our schedules don't line up. Mm-hmm. So we can like only watch like an episode or two a night, like a couple times a week.
But that's kind of nice to like.
Like, savor
it. Spread it out. Yeah, because I feel like if you're like, today we're watching 19 episodes, I'm like, that is like a little much. Like, while it's fun sometimes, I feel like you want to have like fun with it.
You want to have fun. You want to savor it, you know?
And you also want to feel like you're kind of watching it live. It's like, there's like time in between these episodes. You really get to like have an emotion about the characters.
Exactly. It is like the best show I've ever watched in my life. Like, I'm actually so obsessed with it. I'm so happy whenever it is on my screen. And it is such an interesting anthropological look at America, at human behavior, at like gender, race, everything. It is like a microcosm of all these things, and it's like, it's so, so, so good.
Because I was going to say that we really bonded very early on about the challenge, because we both love the challenge. And then for you to say that this is better than the challenge, because it's like, imagine doing the craziest challenges, but you're also like hungry, haven't slept,
stinky,
battling the elements.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the social game on top of it.
Exactly.
That, there are so many moving parts to that game where I'm like, yeah. The challenge can't even hold a candle
because
the challenge is about like watching dudes in the early 2000s like beat each other up.
Yes, and then beat women up too.
Yeah.
Wes.
I'm gonna be very careful. Wes. Gonna be very. That guy scares the fuck out of me.
Yeah,
but if he wants my number, it's bleep.
But then I also, one of my other recommendations that I've been like, that I was really into at the beginning of this year, is this book called Cue the Sun by Emily Nussbaum, who's like the TV writer for The New Yorker. And it's about the history of reality TV.
Yes.
But at like a high level, like it's, it's really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And she did like a whole chapter on Survivor, and like, I did not know it basically created all reality TV, because it was the first reality TV show that like broke out of the genre of being reality TV into being pop culture. You know, like everyone was watching Survivor.
Well, because it was like a competition show that like, I mean, like what, American Idol comes after Survivor?
After it, everything. Wow. Anything you can think of comes after Survivor.
That's
besides the Real World.
But that was like, that was more documentary influenced, but like this is like,
no, this is like game
psychological
show.
Torment
yes
and torture
it, like actually and it, everything was trying to replicate the success of Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, like The Amazing Race. It gets into like how like Drag Race and
like copy the formula,
yes, like it all came from Survivor.
She's mother.
Jeff Probst's father.
Well, and hi. Like,
hi. Yeah, it's just, it's so, so good. Like, sorry to go off on that tangent, but that, I'm like not kidding, has been taking up most of my like time.
That's
like
yours.
My media time has been watching Survivor.
To get on the topic of book. I've been really trying to read.
Okay.
Because it allows me to go outside when I read.
Do you read outside?
Love a beach book. Had some of the most fantastic cries at the beach last week to Ocean Vuong's new book.
Yeah.
It's going really well. Definitely recommend if you like the first one. It's definitely different, but
is it a sequel?
No, it's just like by him also.
Okay.
But this is one of those, this is a call your mom book.
Okay.
This is like, whoa, I'm devastated. I'm only like halfway through, but I'm like, it's not as like strong in the prose department as like On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous, but I definitely think it's like still a strong showing from him.
Is it like a little more like readable because it's less like prose heavy?
It's really, really easy to fly through some of it. Like I was at the beach for like 2 hours and was like 100 pages just flew by. And I was like, whoa, I'm like halfway done with this book now. And I've been saying this, but no more headphones on the train. Okay. Pull out a book.
Okay, yeah.
Because the kismet that happens. I told you about this, but the guy who was holding the same book that I was reading.
No, you did not tell me about this.
Oh my God. I was leaving the Student Archives concert and I was like, my phone's gonna die. I have a book in my purse. I pull out Howl. I forget who it's by. Iconic, like, American poem.
Oh, by Allen Ginsberg?
Yes, yeah, and a bunch of his other poems.
Yeah.
I'm reading that on the train and, like, this guy is sitting across from me. And he's holding the copy, like, just out of my peripheral vision. So when I go to check what stop we're at, he's, like, holding it at me. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? And he's like, I just bought this book today.
Dude.
Did anyone get full body chills?
I did.
Whoa. Chicken is, like, freaking. No, I was like, this is so beautiful.
Crazy.
So we talked.
Did you talk about it?
Yeah, because he's read it before, but he's like, I didn't have my personal copy, so he started telling me about it, and he was like, would you mind reading, like, the last page of the first poem, like, and then, like, telling me what you think? And I was like, well, now I feel like I'm kind of held hostage because I'm
really
like,
slow reader.
Yeah,
like, while you're
reader.
Watching me.
Yeah, I'm like, pervert. But I was like, this is really cool. Can you tell me more about, like, why you like this book? And every single person that's seen me have this book recently has been like, I read that in high school, too. Oh. And I'm like, I am 27 years old just finding out about this book. But it's really cool, just, like, what a connection you can make
yeah.
by what you're reading.
What did you think of the page he asked you to read?
I mean, I think it definitely needed more context.
Oh,
with
okay.
With the rest of the
he's
poem.
Like, did you like it?
I was like, well, I don't really know what he's talking about mm-hmm. here. And it's, like, a lot of, like, allusions to other things that you have to, like, kind of, like, look up at home.
Yes.
And, like, find out who these names are.
Yeah.
Unless you don't immediately recognize Jack Kerouac. Like,
yeah.
Some of these, like, other authors that he's referencing is
yeah.
kind of hard, but...
Was he our age?
No.
Or was he, like, older?
No, I told him that I graduated in 2020, and he was like, oh, my God, high school? And I was like, oh. I'm like...
Oh, so you think I'm young.
I immediately turned to salt. I was like... I, like, flittered away. I was like, oh, I'm way older than you guys. He was... he was like, oh, yeah, I was class of... I was class of 2022.
High school?
Yeah. I think so.
Who else was scared?
I was freaking out.
Who else
out.
Was scared?
And his girlfriend, that's a big plot twist, was like, I'm a freshman in college right now. I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck is going on? I felt like I was like in the substance or something.
Yeah.
Like I, like there was no one like me. Like I was just the scary monster.
You're suddenly the oldest person in the world.
The only person
and
who remembers
9/11. On the train.
And yeah. And there was one girl sitting next to me who was like, busting out laughing when she like found out how old I was. I was like, is this a setup? Like,
wait,
am I on
why?
Impractical Jokers? Because she just like saw me kind of like freak out, because of course when you're 27 and somebody is 19 you're like, is this even legal that we're talking? Like, am I on like, is John Quinones gonna walk out and
yeah,
be like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
shouldn't have talked to that barely legal girl?
Yeah. And what would you do?
I'm like, well, I'm gonna talk to, I'm gonna be a delight on the train.
Of course,
that's what
welcoming
I would do.
Open
yeah.
it
of course
opening oh
well,
not too much.
We can't have any more. I mean, I'm swearing off boys,
mm-hmm.
but I told you this too. It's a flirtatious, promiscuous summer.
Promiscuous girl.
Wherever you are.
Yes. You're just open.
I'm going to be having a flirty secret.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be looking over my shoulder.
A flirty secret?
A flirty secret everywhere I go.
And not... on the app.
I'm on Hinge right now, and every single guy that I talk to is obviously the worst. But
yeah,
and by the way, why is this app like text based? Like your profile is mostly text, mm-hmm. and then people will decide to be like, I'm randomly crazy about music.
As like their answer?
Yeah, I'm randomly crazy about ... and their answer is music. Or like this other guy was like, I go crazy for a blank, and he put food. I was like, totally.
How was the concert? Loud.
It's just really baffling the behavior of some of these men.
Yeah.
I'm like, by the way, I find Hinge to be public humiliation because
yeah.
you have to like say exactly what kind of person you are in the most subtle ways.
Mm-hmm.
I respect the direct communication rather than the like weird negotiation
yeah,
of my identity.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, I'm like 35% cute and then
yeah,
50%
yeah.
funny and then Merp. Like I was like 10% mysterious, but like
yeah,
not
yeah,
mysterious
yeah.
at all.
Yeah. I thought you were like imitating. No, I think this is like, I feel like this summer is just low stakes in general.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah. I think that there's a couple more years where it's like if I haven't locked it down, then you know what? I'm gonna be very happy being like an old man who lives in a cabin
mm-hmm.
with like
old
chickens.
Man being there's
30.
Yeah.
Old man, of course, being 30 living. Like
the kid you met on the train is like, you're not 30 and like few years away from dying.
I remember when I was that age and I was treating 30 like that.
Yeah.
And now I can't wait to be 30.
When I was 18, I literally thought 25-year-olds were like old hags.
Yeah. I mean, like, it really is crazy to like watch somebody learn how close you are to 30.
Yeah.
I mean, like, God forbid even be it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, all love. I have a lot of... I mean, I look to my queer elders, somebody who's 29. but they looked at me and they were like, oh my gosh, what was the war like?
Yeah, right.
When my cousin was like fresh out of high school,
mm-hmm.
she was like How does it feel that the year that you graduated high school is being aestheticized?
Oh my God.
Or like when I like, I don't know, I worship at the altar of 2013. Mm-hmm. I think like obviously that is a deep dive that we'll have to do. Just yes. like 2013 as culture. But like she was like, I'm going to a 2013 party tonight. I was like, yeah, by the way, you can find my Toms in the basement. You can.
And it always comes back to the Toms.
The sense memory of those Toms, man. Like, as soon as she said, like, we're aestheticizing mm-hmm. the year that, like, you were pennyboarding.
Talk about stolen valor.
That is a fucked up. I'm like, you were not walking into H&M picking stuff off of the floor because it was cute.
Yeah.
Flair quotes derogatory, of course.
If you were not walking into H&M and the only jeans available were, like, skinny and, like, black or bright purple. Yes, I yes. don't want to hear it.
I
don't want to hear it.
Like, you just had to be there for the amount of time I was spending in an H&M. People were like asking me questions because I appeared to be an employee.
Oh. I don't want to touch that.
I mean, like, I feel very comfortable. Like, I would greet that past version of myself with a lot of love. Yeah, and I would say, yes, you were one of the least stylish people in the world. But you know what? People saw those green jeans.
And they saw past it.
And they saw into your heart, which was, of course, behind the ukulele. I'm like, I saw a picture that was like, evil doesn't die, it reinvents itself. Mm-hmm. And it was like all of the twee stuff with just like the like the Brat Summer outfits mm-hmm. and like the DJ, like instead of a ukulele, like we have DJ rigs now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like instead of having like Chevron, Gen Z has like the wavy checkerboard. Mm. Like, by it's the way, bad. You guys will have your own things, and I will wait for you on the other side to laughing. Comfort you. Oh, oh. As a queer elder, Elizabeth, I have to take those baby gays and say, I was once in your shoes. You will also become 30 years old.
It's a, and everyone becomes 30 years old.
Even like, with the 1 year age gap that I have with you and all of our friends, I'm like, I'll be there on the other side of your Saturn return because I'm going through it right now.
Well, okay, and the thing is, once I turned 26, I, like, really stopped feeling that age gap with you.
It really is, like, once you...
It's the great equalizer.
25, there is... You don't know anything at 25 either. I don't know anything at 27. Like, I'm going through an existential crisis right now.
Well, and I will say, I don't think anyone knows anything ever. Whoa. I think that's the thing about life, is you're never going to know. Scenes are in movies.
something about life is that who knows.
But Jenny, you know, Slate, what I mean?
Who can never be sure?
Who can never be sure?
Who can never be sure?
Yeah. What were you saying?
Existential crisis.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was going more into books. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to shout out Byung-Chul Han, that like social theorist and philosopher that I've been reading this year. He has a book called Agony of Eros that I think that everyone should read right now because we are in an eroticism drought. It is a crisis and we need to resuscitate her.
Like, stat.
I'm so serious. We need to find every single way to, like, pretty much bring her back to life.
Yes.
Reanimate her. One of the big things is, like, the other, keeping the other alive. Like, we need to, like, create these, like, distinctions of where I end and you begin mm-hmm. and things like that. So, like, there can be, like, tension and space and... We just live in a culture that's so, like, everyone's pressed up against each other. To bring it back to the claustrophobia thing, it's, like, we're all on this, like, packed train, but none of us have our feet on the ground because we're all so tightly knit that, like, we can't know where...
Yeah, we're also trying to, like, run.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. We're moving at this insane accelerated speed mm-hmm. that it's, like, we can't orient ourselves, but it's, like, if I'm over here and you're over there, then we can, like, make eyes at each other or, like... We don't have to, like, know everything about everybody. There doesn't have to be this over-communicative thing, this, like, anxious, over-communicating anxiety that we all have. Anxious, over-communicating anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, leaving space for there to be otherness.
I think just people need to start leaving space to, like, discover things again and not just have mm-hmm. things, like, told to you, you know?
We were talking about this... The other day when I was, like, trying to... I was asking somebody at dinner, like, how old is this person? I wonder how old he is. And then somebody's immediately like, he's 74 or, like, whatever. I'm like, Jesus Christ. What if we all just, like, tried guessing? Or, like, oh, maybe he was born in this year because at this year he was blah blah blah, like we don't have space for wondering things anymore. Like,
why can't this or it's that or it's nothing?
Yeah, it's like we have it at our fingertips, so why don't we have it? I'm like, well, we don't have to have, we can save it for later. I don't have to know right now.
You don't have to know every, again, coming back to Call Me By Your Name, I know nothing.
And yeah, Leo. I mean, coming back to knowing nothing, I know nothing. Yeah, I think that Googling is out.
Googling with AI, very super out.
I will just, I mean, obviously, I want to search for truth and knowledge and wisdom, but I don't want to have every question answered.
No.
Like, I think that the knowledge will come to me when it's ready, and that will be kismet. That will be like, well, yeah, I was thinking about that.
Exactly.
And then how much sweeter will that be?
Exactly. It's, nothing is gratifying when it's just handed to you.
That's why trivia is always so like ecstatic, because we're like, how did we just know that? Just, like,
yeah. We're so used to Googling everything.
Or like when someone is like, oh my gosh, I was literally just like researching that today, or I was watching this movie today, so I was able to answer the question about it at trivia. I'm like,
That's kismet.
That is electricity. That is life. That is what we drink, breathe, and eat. That is
life is about.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this this morning, maybe. Like, maybe, like, last night, about how, like, you find... I was thinking about this in, like, home decor terms, but, like, using Pinterest to, like, create an aesthetic for yourself of, like, what you want your apartment to look like, your clothes, like the food you eat, stuff like that. And I'm like, damn, how did people decorate without Pinterest? And then I'm like, they live life.
I'm like, they went to other people's houses and were like, what's that?
Yeah.
Or like, who's this designer?
Exactly.
And then they would have a conversation.
And like, obviously there's like, there was like catalogs and like, you know, like department stores, of course. But like, I feel like it was really, really, really much more about, like, creating a style for yourself that you wanted to surround, like, yourself with in your home. And, like, obviously I do that, but, like, it's not, like, I get inspiration from Pinterest, as everyone does.
Of course.
But, I don't know.
I feel like this also goes with like fashion. Whenever I see something online, I'm like, I need that. And then it comes to my house and I'm like, this fits so bad on my body. We've just got to get into brick and mortar stores.
I can't shop online. Try things on,
man. Like,
I don't shop for clothes online. I can't do it.
It's like nearly impossible.
It like really is. Cause like,
when your body tea like yours.
Cause I can see something in the store and know immediately if it'll fit me or not. Like, it depends on the material, like so much stuff. But online, I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Like, you know, like photographed really well, and you're like, that could look really good on me. And then you have to go through the like hassle of returning something, which is like a nightmare, by the way.
No.
Like, I'm like, if I get something online and it doesn't fit me, I'm giving it to somebody. Because you actually have given me the gift of not having to go to a UPS access point, or like,
like a drop box.
Yeah.
A drop point.
Or God forbid, a mailbox.
Oh my God. This brings me to kind of like a point that I've been trying to get back into, physical media.
Oh my gosh. Well, you love to go to Half Price Books.
Yeah. Like big time. It kind of all started, again, tying back to what we were talking about earlier. Kyle and I, like last year, were trying to watch 28 Days Later, and it wasn't available for streaming anywhere. You could not find this movie online.
It pissed me off.
So I went on an excursion to try to find a copy of the DVD. And then we found like three. And so we were like able to watch it, whatever. And then I was like, wait, because this is like serious. If all our streaming platforms, if all our music like apps were deleted tomorrow, we would have nothing. No copies of anything.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to get back into buying DVDs. I have a CD player in my car. Buying that. Like, I mean, obviously, I have a lot of books. Like, I don't really, like, do well, like, reading books on my iPad.
Yeah, or while you're driving your car the other time, where you, like, have, like, time to, like, indulge in media. I feel like it's like driving when you're on the train and then when you're outside.
Yes.
I feel like that's why books are only an outside thing. Like sitting outside in the park.
There's nothing better than reading a book outside.
But I also like the idea that you're talking about with like having these preserved, like having these DVDs preserved as how they were printed on that disc, because I'm really afraid of censorship. And like, I really don't like watching movies that are like on Tubi sometimes because I don't fully trust that they're the exact edit or the cut of the movie sometimes.
Yeah.
That's just like a weird tinfoil hat thing for me.
Yeah.
But like, they could cut out anything that they want. Like how they do on flights. It's like, you can watch a movie and then like talk about it with somebody and be like, wait, I did not see the scene that you're talking about.
And no one would know.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, whatever they could be erasing. I like am so tinfoil hat today. But they could do that at any time. Just like take away scenes. And I'm like, having the movies, having the albums as they are now could be very important.
If for the future.
Yeah, like, that's, like, a historical archive for you to have, like...
Yeah.
And I think about, like, passing it down to, like, generations or, like, just, like, making the media stay alive is really important.
I think, yeah, and I, like, I just miss it. It's just simpler. It's, like, it's much easier to, like, figure out what you want to watch from, like, a DVD collection versus, like, going on a streaming platform and being able to watch any movie you could possibly think of.
Yes.
It's, like, the abundance of choice is overwhelming. And, yeah, like, I was at Barnes & Noble the other day. Criterion was having 50% off.
I'm so jealous.
And so I got Trainspotting on DVD and Chungking Express, and it's so cute. And like, this is a Criterion only, but like, they come, they're super well designed. They come with like little like booklets inside. Like, it's just gorgeous. It's
some
gorgeous.
Some of them have essays in them too. I'm like, that is so fierce.
Yes. I mean, we love Criterion.
We live for Criterion.
Of course. We share a subscription.
Hey, and that, and you know what? I did give it to Nunzio.
Okay. Yeah.
Because this is the other movie that I watched recently. Debs.
Oh my God.
OMG.
Is Devin Aoki in that?
Yes, she is. And it shocked me because I was like, wait, why does she look familiar? And then looked it up, of course, Steve Aoki's sister. Mm-hmm.
I think she's like one of the most gorgeous women in the world.
She's so fierce.
She's so, like, there's some famous people where you just like cannot stop looking at their face. Yes. She's one of them.
I've actually separately gone down a bunch of Wikipedia rabbit holes about the Aokis because I found Benihana. What the fuck?
Sorry, did I like steal your thunder?
No, that should be more widely told to us that Steve Aoki is a Benihana, like Nepo baby. Because I think, hats off, that is cool as fuck.
Right, that you made a whole career and no one knows, like, your dad invented Benihana.
And by the way, that is an okay thing for me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I love Benihana. Keeping whimsy alive at the restaurant.
Right.
Theater and a show. Like,
Onion
dinner
Volcano.
And a show. Yes.
Yeah.
Catching the Shrimp. Fried Rice Heart. I mean, like, come on. These are all plastered in my mind.
Of course.
Like, that brought me so much joy. Like, if Claro's dad just made, like, Wendy's instead, or like, something cool like Chipotle,
maybe
we would forgive her more. Maybe there would be less Claro.
I know.
I actually, like, it goes back to my day list. Gotta just nip that in the butt. Just gotta, that can of worms is being closed.
I've come around to her.
Of course.
I don't want to get into it. I don't.
Yeah.
Just know I'm like fine with her now.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
All love.
All like neutral. For me, which was better than all hate.
Well, I mean, what's worse, indifference or hate?
I start crying.
Every second counts. Oh my God.
Anything else that you've been?
Let me check my notes. No, I think that I kind of hit everything. But wait, what's that sound?
I think it's time
for heaven or hell. Elizabeth, I have for you right here. These are just random things. Obviously, I'm not going to... okay, whatever. These are just random. Bird watching.
Heaven,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because I kind of want to get everyone's finger on the pulse. Like, apparently birdwatching is on this list of, like, least attractive hobbies for a man. And I was like, wait, that would be so cute if a guy I knew was,
yeah,
like tracking birds and, like, logging them.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a cardinal on my way here, and I was like, that's mad special, by the way.
Well, of course. Mm-hmm. And what's not attractive about going out in nature and, like, touching grass?
Yeah.
Everyone wants people to be touching grass, but, and then naysay.
And then they're hanged because they want to see a bird.
Stake.
Yeah. Yeah, they're witches because this bird is cool. That's the least attractive hobby.
Miss.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
They were like, it was like collecting stuff, playing video games. I was like, there are too many people like this.
Yeah.
The next one I have is Nicole Scherzinger in Sunset Boulevard.
Heaven. Right? Did you know that guy's not gay?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I
saw his girlfriend on TikTok today.
You know how I could tell that he was straight?
Uh-huh.
It's because I was attracted to him. There's actually this rule where I have every single horror movie that I watch, like a slasher, I'm like, okay, I'll know who it is because I'm attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
Two, every straight guy ever.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just...
We know this.
This is the ABCs. Yeah.
Speaking of someone that we've been talking about recently,
mm-hmm,
Denise Richards.
I mean, I think she's in purgatory right now. She's going through it, right? I mean, getting divorced when you've only had that show for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or less than 3 months, I think.
Yeah, not even.
Yeah.
Not even.
It's
rough. Sorry. Rough going.
Denise, you still have time. You still have time to make it to heaven. Or, I mean, God forbid, just go to hell because purgatory, what's worse? The next one I have is deviled eggs.
Heaven, and you know, okay. I'm gonna say heaven.
Okay, I got every single time I post our podcast, 27 people see it, and then every single time I post that I'm eating something disgusting, people are like, 500 views, like 40 likes, but every single swipe up that I got was, that's fucking disgusting. So I want everybody who swiped up on my Instagram story and said that deviled eggs are gross, reevaluate.
You cannot listen to this podcast and think deviled eggs are gross. Well,
okay, you can listen to, well, like you said,
listen.
You can sit with us.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, please listen to our podcast.
But, like, fundamentally, we're going to disagree on that because I love deviled eggs.
Yes, but we invite the discourse. We invite
opposing
viewpoints. We need people who hate deviled eggs so we can really, like, get down
like,
to...
Well, like, why? You know, like, let's discuss it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
What about muting someone on Instagram?
Heaven. Oh, heaven.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I recently learned about this.
And like, I wish you could mute their posts.
You can?
Oh, you can?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
You've got... And maybe I just taught you about this.
Learn.
You should do this. You can mute grid. You can mute story. You can even mute the little notes that they make that show up in your Instagram DMs, like, at the top, which I think is, like...
So stupid.
It's, like, AIM instant messenger type
shit.
Yeah, or, like, a MySpacey. I'm, like, it's retro, but totally not working like they wanted
to. Yeah.
Okay, the last one that I have is Benson Boone.
Hell. And you knew it was going to be hell.
I know. I mean, it came out of your mouth. I didn't even have to say his last
name. Say Benson Boop.
We can see Boop! yeah, I mean, I think Caleb Heron had an amazing take, which was like, oh, the worst thing the guy's doing is a backflip. I'm like, that is kind of true.
No, he's putting out slop.
Well, yeah, that fucking moonbeam.
That's bad. Yeah.
Like, what?
Moonbeam ice cream.
Taking off your ice cream.
Okay, and along these lines, Alex Warren is, like, a pop star now. Do you know who that is?
No.
He was, like, this guy that became famous from, like, being in the Hype House in, like, on TikTok.
Okay.
And now he's, like, shed that persona and is now, like, a pop star. And I'm like, how quick are we to forget?
Well,
this guy was like best friends with Bryce Hall.
He heard.
Don't
that,
quote me on that.
He heard that. we bleep.
Yeah.
He wants what Addison Rae has.
Oh,
right?
We can't even get into her.
Oh my! I'm like, well, Addison, that will be a deep dive.
Because
by the way, I hate how people are talking about her.
I've come around. Hate
how people are talking about her. I'll go to bat for her.
Mm-hmm.
And in 5 years, if she does something problematic, you know what?
Don't quote me on that.
We'll reevaluate. like the day is July 9th, 2025. And to me, she's fierce.
She's perfect.
Yeah. But we're in flux. We're always in flux.
Everyone. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a full moon tomorrow. I could change my mind tomorrow.
In an instant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, wait, I'm absolutely stuffed.
I'm so full. And I gotta go to class.
Yeah, wait, okay. Wait, do we need to bring our backpacks?
Fuck.
Okay,
bye. Bye. We'll be back in
two weeks. For a deep dive.
A deep dive, for sure. We'll have a deep dive.
But in the meantime, you know, show our pod some love, rate, review us, follow us on Instagram and TikTok.
At Rapture the Pod.
Whoa, totally.
Thanks for listening. Bye. Drop your